Job got done for the San Francisco 49ers. This is Mike Tirico on the call for NBC Sports, and the Niners survive against the Dallas Cowboys 30-24 after building a 27-10 lead heading into the fourth quarter. And I thought the third quarter was their most complete quarter of the season, defensively, offensively. Thought they did a hell of a job there to kind of distance themselves from the Dallas Cowboys. And they get a much needed victory, and they're in a tie for first place in the NFC West heading into the bye week. 30-24. Brock 260 in the air. Isaac Garrido, his coming out party. He ran with juice. He's getting better and better by the carry. 14 carries, 85 yards and a tug. And on National Tight End Day, the tight end of the San Francisco 49ers shined out. He shined bright. George Kittle, 6 catches, 128 yards, and a touchdown. So we get the Niners with a big win. Look at the Warriors on a loss, and now we got to worry about Steph Curry's ankle, mild left ankle sprain, as they lose to the Clippers yesterday. They could not get over the hump. Credit to the L.A. Clippers, who dictated tempo and pace. But a lot going on here. What's up, Shasky? Good morning.
Good morning. You know, that game, wow. There's so many swings of momentum. I think a lot of Niner fans were watching that first half, and they're like, what is going on here? I mean, we are our own worst enemy. We have big chunk plays, and they're getting called back because of infractions. It feels like you get the ball right before the end of half, and Purdy drops it in the pocket, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, this could not get any worse. Thank God Dak turned it over early. This could be worse. Well, we're gonna get the ball at the start of the third quarter. And I thought the Kittle little slant crosser, whatever they call it, drag play, where he just started steamrolling guys and rumbling and stumbling all the way down to basically whatever, the 8, right. 9, 10 yard line. That was the moment. The momentum flipped. And then yep. D'Amino Lenore, who I just think has been playing outstanding football for this team for weeks and weeks on end, made one of the great acrobatic catches that I can remember a 49ers secondary player making. And the Niners went on a great run in that third quarter. Maybe their best quarter of football.
That's what I just said. Most complete quarter of the season.
You think that, that's what you think?
Yeah, that's what I think. I kind of feel like that's what I know after watching this team, you know, all season long through the first 8 games. 21 points in all in that quarter. They fixed their red zone issues for at least one Sunday night, going 3-4 in the red zone. And the only time they didn't get a touchdown in the red zone was when they were in victory formation at the end of the game. So I thought we could talk about D'Amino Lenore, who's just playing excellent football. Michael Silver had the article in the SF Chronicle earlier this season said, the next 49ers superstar is D'Amino Lenore. You know what? He wears that number 2. He's got the swagger like a star. And overall, this young secondary is playing well. I thought Malik Mustafa again popped on Sunday Night Football. Chris Collinsworth over and over was just gushing all over Malik Mustafa. Tig Brown had an interception, of course, in that game. Renardo Green is getting some run here, and he's playing well. But then I look at the other side of the football, and I'm saying to myself, from what I saw with Jacob Cowie last week and with his short area quickness, and I know he wasn't much of a factor last night, but Ricky Pearsall, I see what they see in Ricky Pearsall. Some tough catches over the middle early on in the football game, the great out route, the anticipation by Brock Purdy leading Ricky Pearsall. There's something there with Pretty Ricky, who's a little quicker than I thought. You saw the end around with him. And so now moving forward, you got some things cooking here with Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowie to compliment George Kittle and Deebo Samuel and Juwan Jennings once he gets back. But more importantly, the quarterback got back on track last night.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was a little shaky in the first half at best. Shaky at best. Totally righted himself. And I thought that Kittle play was a big flipper for him confidence-wise. And then his accuracy was just, boom, on point from that way out. Now, we can get into the fourth quarter at some point today.
No doubt.
My God, can we guard CeeDee Lamb? I mean, I have no problem, and I'm not going to lose my mind over it. I have no problem when you're up like 3 scores and you're allowing a team to just kind of march down the field. Like, whatever, you're in prevent. I'm not going to lose my mind. Like, right. I'm not. But when it got to a point where it was like, all right, it's CeeDee Lamb, guys. Come on. Yeah. Like, we kind of knew that going in. But, like, can we double CeeDee? And he's not even covered on multiple plays when it felt like they went to him 15 times in a row. Well, that's where I'm like, all right, can we make an adjustment here? But I'm looking at this B and I'm saying part of why Dallas is where they're at. We could talk about Jerry and we could talk about the coach and the quarterback, but the GM, Jerry, has failed to kind of find the late gems that the Niners have. Yesterday, Isaac Arendo and Ricky Pearsall, 180 yards combined. Okay. Dominic Pooney, starting left guard.
Yep.
You referenced Malik Mustafa. He was separating dudes from the ball. Missed a couple tackles. The whole team missed tackles.
But he's playing well. He's getting better by the snap.
I think he's a stud. Jair Brown, who you referenced with the interception, was everywhere in the first half. I thought he was excellent. And then you see this guy, Okwuanu, out of nowhere, getting pressures.
Yeah.
All these random guys that they brought in, as Jordan Mason, an undrafted guy, goes out in the game, they're getting contributions from the others. And then you have your all-time legends like Kittle who are going to carry things. I look at Dallas, and the problem with them is they don't get the contributions that the Niners are getting from the depth of their roster.
I just don't think Dallas is a well-coached football team. I don't think they're a well-run football team. I think they're one of the more mentally weak teams I've seen in recent memory. When it going gets tough, they just fold. I mean, now credit to them. They did try to fight back last night on Sunday Night Football. Had a chance, I guess, to take the lead there. The Niners defense held strong on four downs, which was great. But I just think mentally they're weak. I think they're poorly coached. And we saw this with Mike McCarthy when he got hired a few years ago. I thought a few years ago, I said, they hired Mike McCarthy out of all people. And we know why they hired Mike McCarthy, because Jerry wants to run the show. The best thing for Jerry Jones is go out there and go get Bill Belichick and step the hell out of the way. That's the best thing for Jerry Jones.
Yeah, but
he will not do it.
Yeah.
His ego. And then you see their players after the game, Trayvon Diggs going after a reporter over a social media post. Well, first of all, you just got in the locker room, your full uniforms on. You already see the social media post? Is it already sent to your cell phone? So you go after a reporter, because I'm wondering after watching the play, what was Trayvon Diggs doing? What were you doing?
I don't know.
So you come at the reporter, you take your frustrations out on him. I just think the Dallas Cowboys are just a joke. They're an absolute afterthought to me. I don't think they're a playoff team. Matter of fact, I don't think are they really going to go out there and beat the Commanders once or twice? Are they going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles? I mean, that team and CeeDee Lamb and Dak are not on the same page. They're a joke. They're an absolute joke, Shasky.
I don't know. Like, I know everyone's going to say the Cowboys suck, and you might be right. But I'm looking at it from a Niners perspective.
No, take care of your own business.
What?
Take care of your business.
That's the way I'm viewing it. Like, we've had a lot of drama for like 3 months straight in Ninerland. You're 4-4. Lick your wounds, get healthy, and let's go on a little run here. And your point about Ricky Pearsall is well taken. That little out route that Purdy threw, I thought it was the best throw of the half for Purdy up until that point. He's out of his break, and he doesn't realize the ball is coming, and he's adjusting and making the catches. He's falling down. He made a couple of really nice catches in traffic and just goes down. I'm like, yes, you don't need to run through six guys. We've got a million guys hurt right now. Just catch it, move the chains, and let's keep it moving. I saw a lot of encouraging things from him. And then George Kittle, and I think you brought this up about a month ago. I forget what game we were coming out of. George Kittle's an all-time 49er.
He is.
And I don't ever want to see this guy ever wear another uniform. Now, I know sports, things happen at the end of careers and whatnot, and there's finances, and guys' interests change over time. They maybe want to play for another coach or play in another region, or there's another player that takes your spot. I don't know. But I'd love to see George Kittle retire as a 49er, because he made play after play after play last night, and he's just a superstar.
I actually thought, you know, this went through my head yesterday when I saw the graphic of catch leaders in team history. Obviously, Jerry Rice with 1,281 catches. Nobody's catching him. Terrell Owens second on the list with 592 catches. Roger Craig with 508. Dwight Clark with 506. There's George Kittle in the 500 catch club in 49ers history. He's going to surpass Dwight Clark and Roger Craig in the next couple games here. And he may surpass T.O. next year. I was thinking on the way home, you know, coming from Warriors and kind of catching up on Niners, and I went home and kind of up too late watching the Niners. Stayed up a little later than I wanted to, because you start watching the elements and stuff, and it's like, wait, I need to be fast-forwarded here. I want to extend George Kittle. I don't want him going anywhere. Like, all this talk about him being washed or losing a step, I don't see him losing a step. I don't see him losing a step in the run game. I don't see him losing a step in the pass game. I actually think his hands are getting better. I actually think he's high-pointing the ball better. I think his run after the catch has always been good and solid. You know what? George Kittle is an all-time Niner. He's the best tight end in 49ers history. And for him to ball out and step up the way he did, picking up his quarterback, there's no doubt I love that. I love that. So I love where the Niners are at right now, getting this much-needed victory. And it's kind of like the Warriors, too. First two games, they beat the Blazers and Jazz by a combined 77 points, an NBA record. an NBA record for largest margin of victory through the first two games of the season, especially on the road. You can't control who you play. You control how you play. And that's how I looked at the 49ers yesterday. They were sloppy yesterday in that first half. And I can only imagine a reaction from people going crazy over the game after down at halftime. But the penalties, the self-inflicted wounds, they've got to clean that up. But they controlled the way they played that third quarter, and they played lights-out football to flip that game, Shasky. So control the way you play. Forget the opponent. I don't care if it's the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Rams. You control how you play. The Niners controlled that football game yesterday for the most part in the second half.
Totally agree with you. And like you look at Philadelphia right now, it's 5-2, and they're probably one of the last teams in the wild card. So you just got to handle your business. You can't worry about wild cards and this.
Win
and
the
that.
Division.
Just I'm with you 100%. And get healthy, yep. Right? You got to get healthy. Clearly, Jordan Mason wasn't running the way, and we'll get into it, but running the way he was earlier. Your point about Kittle. I'm going to say this till I'm blue in the face. When I look at roster construction, you have to fit everything under a salary cap. There is not one tight end in the NFL whose AAV is in the top 100. I'll say that again. There is not a tight end in the NFL, Kelce, Hockenson, Goddard, yep. Andrews, pick whoever you want, Kittle included, who is in the top 100 of AAV most paid players in the league. So what that tells me is that for the fraction of a playmaking wide receiver, I get a guy who helps my tackles out in the run game. I get a guy who's an absolute enforcer and is a matchup nightmare financially. So financially, it's good business. And then just X's and O's and scheme. Okay, you want to put a safety on him? He's going to truck that guy. Yep. You want to put a linebacker on him? He's going to run past him. The route he ran last night that Collinsworth was going crazy on, yep. where he's just running flat and Purdy led him. He's just a dynamic stud. And when he makes plays and runs over someone near the sideline, there's just an infectious joy that this team plays with. Unlike when other guys make, and Debo has that quality too. I don't want to take it away from him. But like
Debo was solid yesterday.
I thought Debo was great yesterday.
I mean, the touchdown gets called back with the holding call. Eric Sauber's got to make that block. I thought Debo, and look, even on the drag ride, I saw some things from reporters said Debo's got to catch that 4th-and-3. That's a poorly thrown football. I don't care if Debo's a $28 million wide receiver, $50 million wide receiver. That's a tough ball to catch. Running a drag route, full speed. You got to turn your whole body around. That was a terrible throw by Brock Purdy.
And he was wide open.
Wide open.
Look, if we're critiquing, like, I thought Purdy had a really bad first half by his own standards. Like, he underthrew the ball to Debo on the wheel route, which was a beautifully designed play. You put Debo in the backfield as a running back, and you finally got him lined up on a linebacker, and boom, and he's got 4 steps on that guy. If Purdy leads him a little, I don't know, maybe it's 6, maybe it's not.
By the way, we haven't brought up Shanahan. I thought Shanahan had a hell of a football game yesterday. I thought he had a hell of a football game. 888-957-9570.
Totally.
I want to hear from Niner fans. That design to get Debo in the backfield, motion him out knowing that Eric Kendricks is going to be guarding Debo Samuel and Brock Purdy waiting, and finally looking and turning to throw. Yeah, the ball was underthrown. At least he completed the damn pass, but he's got to lead them. He's got to lead these deep passes. Maybe it is a touchdown, but the designs of Shanahan yesterday, I thought Shanahan was really good yesterday with his play calling and his play designs.
I totally agree with you. I mean, how many times did you see Debo open? Like wide open. They're in man. You can't beat man. Debo wide open. No, he did a great job yesterday. I also believe, and I think Jordan Mason is a very good running back. Not great, but a really good running back. He doesn't necessarily take certain holes that I think he should. I do think he misses the hole. I'm not trying to pretend to be low Neil here. Like I know what a fullback and the running back should be doing on every play. I thought Isaac Garendo saw the holes a little better than Jordan Mason yesterday.
He did. Bobby Turner, the running back coach, is doing an excellent job. He reminds me so much of Mostert, the way he runs, the way he hits the hole. He looks like Raheem Mostert.
With the number 31
he
on?
Whatever 31. He runs just like him, it feels like. Yeah, he's got that juice. He's got that extra juice here. So shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Niner fans, keep it real. How you feeling this morning? Do you feel like they're on the way back? Do you feel like they're turning their season around? Are you a little skeptical with the game, with the way the game ended? 888-957-9570. By the way, James Harden, he didn't shoot the ball well, but he controlled the whole damn basketball game. He had a hell of a back-to-back against Denver to go to St. Warriors. Zubac?
killed us.
Oh my gosh, 23 points, 17 rebounds, 6 assists.
I'm not a system player. I am a system.
The show would go at the end of the game to go up 5, 107 to 102. Oh my gosh, the Clippers, what a win.
That's not my big takeaway. My big takeaway was like Curry.
Curry's ankle. And the rotations a little bit. And we'll get to the Warriors at some point. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. This is the time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop. But of course, the guests are you callers because we are giving away a jersey. We'll have some information that on the other side. But we're talking Niners here. 30-24 win. They're 4-4. Three-way tied for Arizona going down to Miami. Is still in that game.
Kyler, dude. He had a couple of short yardage runs where he juked four guys out of their shoes.
I mean, Marvin Harrison showed up. Marvin Harrison Jr.
McBride.
Trey McBride is a baller.
McBride is a force.
He's a baller. That decent Buda Baker was talking to Tyreek Hill. Tua didn't get hurt. Tua's okay. But boy, I know a lot of people were skeptical yesterday. But Buffalo went up to Seattle and handled business. We need Seattle to beat the Rams next week. We've got to root for Seattle.
I don't know what to make of Seattle.
Seattle's a... Do you see them in the red zone?
Did you see the play with Geno?
Where he got his foot stepped on?
Oh, my gosh.
What about the snap going over his head on the previous possession? That first to go, Kenneth Walker has to go retrieve the ball at the 30-yard line. Seattle was a mess. They're fighting each other on the sideline.
It's... NFL was insane yesterday. Like, there was, it was insane.
Number
every single game
from the Bears.
Oh, Stevenson? Oh, my gosh.
If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll talk about it on the other side because I've never seen that at a professional level.